Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is the producer of Here Be Monsters Radio. And before we start, come now, don't sulk with the lovely Sybil Brunchen. I have just a short announcement as producer of Here Be Monsters Radio to make to all of you. Please, folks, understand this is the plague and you need to stay home. Nobody needs to get it from you, and you don't need to get it from anybody else. If you have to go out, it should be for a very needful purpose. Wear a mask, and if you're really smart, you'll spray some Lysol or watered down Pine-Sol, or you'll buy thieves oil, an essential oil blend from one of the holistic dealers that makes them. This is serious, and people are gathering in crowds, still going to shopping malls, still going to outdoor markets, and gathering in crowds, still going to synagogues and churches, and spreading this even further. The death toll on the planet, the numbers are rolling in, and basically 68% of the deaths have been men, 32% have been women. That should tell you something, too. Please, please stop and think. Don't go out. Stay home. If you have it, and bring fresh air into your home. Any other time, there are places nearby that you can walk with a safe distance and get your exercise. Do it responsibly, but wear the mask. Gloves, too, if you can. But just take it seriously. And now, we'll be ready for Come Now, Don't Sulk.
Bonjour, les amis. Ça va bien? I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. This is Sybil Brunchen. I am coming to you live tonight on our podcast with Come Now, Don't Sulk. We are not podcasting live from the revolving ballroom of the Cafe Berlin, high atop the Chrysler Building in the heart of Manhattan. I am coming to you from my bay window. Yes, imagine, darlings, if you were outside wearing your mask and walking about, and you had your mask and your gloves on, you could look up at my window right now. I'm actually standing in the window, and I'm looking out. Oh, I'm actually seeing a couple of people walking by, and they're seeing me in my bay window. Hello, darlings. Hello. No, don't take your mask down. I don't need to see you smiling. Besides, darling, your mask is smeared your lipstick. All right, you have a little lipstick on your teeth down there. Yes, the nice lady with the hat on. Oh, it's a man. Whatever. All right, well, anyway, darlings, mummy is, and look at this, a nice delivery boy who's taking some Chinese food somewhere. I'm on the corner of 105th and West End, and that chuckling, that hearty chuckling, that heartwarming chuckling, which is so contagious, is the chuckling that is coming to you. No, not from downstairs, not from a block away, not even from this island. It is coming from Port St. Lucie, can you imagine? Florida, and that is Gwendolyn Holdenberry, not only my producer and my muse here on Come Now, Don't Sulk, but she is also the founder of the Here Be Monsters Network, which is also the studio, which is also podcasting to you and is part of the Blog Talk Radio family of programming. She is coming to you, and she is also the founder of the company that sponsors our show, which is, Mummy ran out of air there. Mummy, no, I'm not short of breath. It's our sponsor, of course, is DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And she is the founder and the head fragrantriatrix there. And she's got news for us about that as well. Gwendolyn, we're thousands of miles apart, but your laughter is just, it's Monday magic for me. It's Monday magical medicine for me. When I hear you chuckling, even thousands of miles away on your phone, I just, it makes me feel so magical and so taken care of medically. So hello, I love you. How are you?
I'm fine. Back at you, girl. And it's like, knock wood, come what may, here I am, still at the bench, and we're doing it. So,
although Gwendolyn and I are in the same time zone, it's still, the sun is still up down there because she's so far south, and she's got orchids and palm trees and cycads and plumeria growing everywhere. Mummy is still in the north where it's, spring is sort of limping along. It still is chilly at night up here, but it's wonderful down there. How are you doing?
Well, to be honest with you, the last 2 days have been a little cloudy, rainy, and even chilly, but we have plenty of, and I'm talking to a lot of people all over the country, all over the world. Talked to a lady in India on my Facebook video the other night, and everybody is noticing that, and you do these wonderful walks when you go out and take a walk, you go into the park, and I'm wondering if you're noticing it. We have bunnies and squirrels, and the birds are singing at night. And people up north are telling me that the deer are coming into their neighborhoods, and that it's just amazing. I've named the lizard who lives outside my window, Jeremy. And it's just, I mean, if you could see the squirrel squad out back and bunnies, little bunnies and big bunnies and all the birds, there's predators and there's wonderful little singing birds. And we even had a woodpecker who I yelled at. I mean, the wildlife is like relaxing, and that
yes.
tells you something big.
It does. It's, you know, everyone knows where I stand on nature and everything and how humans are the cancer of this planet. It is interesting that with so many people shut in and so many people not polluting the world, China has noticed changes. Venice has dolphins and porpoises swimming in the canals, which are turning blue and clean again. Grand Rapids is mentioning that herds of deer have started to wander through suburbs. That news warms my heart and breaks it, because of course, you know, you'll have a bunch of, you know, idiots out there, you know, wanting to shoot them down and go a hunting, you know, because there are herds of does wandering around. But it is interesting how spring and nature are inexorable, and they are making a comeback with spring, even in spite of all of this. I want to just mention a couple of quick things. You are listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk with Sybil Brunson, that's me, and Gwendolyn Holdenberry. We are produced and sponsored by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Do go to your computer or your laptop and look up DaughtersOfIsis.com. They have wonderful products. Gwendolyn has been working around the clock at her bench, her fragrance bench, mixing her magical essential oils and her different concoctions and everything, coming up with wonderful products. We're going to talk about that in just a second. And then I also want to mention that you can call in tonight, as you can every Monday night, at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. Hello, Australia. Glenn, how are you? Yes, I just want to mention that they are watching us and listening to us, rather, down there where it's 8 a.m. in the morning. Our phone number is 323-784-9639. That is 323-784-9639. Operators are standing by to patch you through our switchboard, and they have their masks on. So if they answer and they go, and you say, oh, I'm trying to reach Sybil Brunson, you mustn't be angry with them. They're wearing masks and they're trying to observe safe practices while they're sitting beside each other and over the airwaves. So don't be grumpy with them if they answer. Please don't yell at them. Just speak slowly and clearly, and they will speak slowly and clearly back to you. All right, Gwendolyn, you were saying that you're sending me a care package, and I can't wait, because you know how I am about gifts.
I am.
I love gifts sent through the mail. So what are you sending me?
I am sending you a little 1 ounce and then a little oil bottle beside it. for refills of the Thieves Oil cleanse so that you can spray it onto the front of your mask or your scarf. I do scarves. I tie a scarf very tightly around my face. Does wonders for my videos. And I put that on. And then, now, here's the thing. If it's in your bloodstream, well, you know, it's there. You're either going to kick it or you're going to say, hail the journey. However, if you have it, it will keep it from going out, even through the mask, because anything that hits the surface of that mask is going to die, including COVID-19. Virus, bacteria, antifungal, anti-infectious. It kills everything. That's how those boys were able to... Yeah.
This is the four thieves that we talked about last week, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And
would you tell them all about, briefly tell them that story one more time, because not everyone, you know, heard that wonderful story about the four thieves during the plague years of the Middle Ages.
Oh, 1413, when
right.
It was coming out of Asia. It was hitting the port cities of Europe, and it hit Italy first, but it was almost as if it's gone today. It hit Italy, and then it hit France days later, and it was on the ships coming into port with their goods. The rats on the ship, you know, were bringing these infectious fleas.
Because of the fleas, yes, exactly. It was actually the fleas carrying it, right.
Right, and they filled the streets and populated and gave the already huge rat population all of these little carriers. And, of course, Black Death broke out. And within a month, and even less, there was no work. Everything was shut down. And these four boys were, well, a couple of men, a couple of boys, apprentices, you know. they worked in the perfumer's shop. And... what happened was the fellow who actually owned the perfumery had gone to a villa of one of the shipping guys and he got completely drunken, came home, went upstairs on top of the shop, because in those days they lived on top of the shop and in the rapscallery where the apprentices were. And he fell into his bed, and he got up the next morning knowing something terrible was wrong with him, and went back to bed after having tea or whatever, and fell dead. And so those boys shuttered up his door and blocked it with crates and wood, and went downstairs and ate what was left and watched Marseille go crazy. And only way people were coming out was to look or beg for food. And there was no commerce. There was nothing going on. I'm drawing a parallel here, Mummy. And so these boys started pulling down essential oils off the shelves. And anything that a rodent or an animal was rebuked by, repelled by the scent, the strongest ones, they took and they blended up and made this four thieves, they call it, because it was four of them involved with it, four thieves blend of essential oils, and they actually took the goods. Now, at the time, nowadays, the formula says eucalyptus, but eucalyptus wasn't even in Europe yet, or amongst the oils. What they used was white camphor, and they took camphor, and they took lemons, and they took bunches of rosemary and cinnamon sticks and all kinds of things, and they made a huge boil in one of the vats, and instead of expressing the steam, and there was no alcohol there, there was nothing, instead of expressing the steam, they boiled all their clothes in it and removed it with wood sticks and hung them on the pegs to drip dry. And then they took the essential oils and they mixed them together and poured them on cloths and created masks out of paper mache that looked like beaks. And they stuck those oils onto those cloths and put them into those beaks and strapped them around themselves and went walking out and into the houses of the rich, who nobody would dare touch because they were all lying dead in their homes and nobody wanted to touch anybody, and especially corpses. And they got away with it for damn close to a year before they got caught. But they did get caught, because I think they got caught because it smelled so good. But that's how they did it. Those long black coats and the hats you see that the quacks wore during the Black Death to help to minister to the sick, those were absolutely drenched in that boil of those herbs and the lemons and the cinnamon sticks. They would absolutely drench those coats and their gloves and their hats in it so that it would repel the fleas and the everything that was...
Which they didn't... By the way, I just want to interrupt for a second, because it did two things. First of all, they did not know that the plague was being bought, the bubonic plague or any disease was being communicated by the rats or the fleas. They never put that together. They thought it was through the air. They called it humors. They thought, first of all, the least educated among them thought that it was evil spirits, and the most educated thought that all diseases were through humors, meaning that all diseases were communicated through the air and through strange gases or airs. First of all. Secondly, the fact that they soaked themselves and their clothes, this is when people weren't bathing, by the way. So people didn't bathe in the Middle Ages. Bathing, this is one of my favorite things about costume design and everything. Bathing did not become a way of life in among white, educated people, Eurocentric and then the New World people, until Victorian England. And even then, It was reluctantly adhered to. People did not bathe really until the 20th century, when people really, really, really got that washing your skin daily in water and hot water and washing your clothes regularly, that keeping your body clean was about 90% of the way of keeping a person healthy. This is such a late discovery. And people, by the way, the Judeo-Christian resentment of bathing dates back to the revolt against ancient Rome and Greece. It was considered decadent and pagan to bathe your body, which is what the Romans and the Greeks were known for. So Rome and Greece disintegrated as cultures, and as rejection of Islamic culture, which believed in bathing, that whole Mediterranean, southern Mediterranean culture, as those people were rejected and their societies disintegrated in favor of the Middle Ages and everything, bathing was considered decadent and anti-Christian. So people began to not bathe because they thought that that was, you know, a source of public nudity was considered.
Correct. It was the church.
So back to So I just want to bring people up.
Exactly.
So
correct.
The Turks, the Greeks, all of those cultures, the Egyptians believed in washing. All of that was about washing.
Yeah. And the medicines began in the East and the Far East because the plagues have always rolled out from Asia, and they had to develop the medicines, and then it would anchor into Asia Minor, which we know as the Middle East. And that's where the very basics of our medicine today and our procedures were born, in that cleanliness you're speaking about.
Right.
Because
so now to bring you up to 1413, which, you know, Gwendolyn was speaking about, this is 70 years before Columbus discovered the New World. And only a handful of very sophisticated Europeans began to suspect that the planet was round. Most people considered the fact that the Earth was flat. People had, even before Columbus, begun to wonder if the Earth was round. And it was, this was before, you know, Galileo and everything. This is, people had started to say, is it possible? There's things we're observing that are strange. And that's why Columbus was sent by Ferdinand and Isabella, because they figured there might be something else going on. Anyway, back to this whole thing. The reason these four thieves were breaking in and were bathing themselves in this was not, they didn't know that this was keeping the fleas off them, because everyone had lice and fleas, basically. Even royalty was, you know, had scabies, and this was a way of life for these people. What they were doing was they were also able to stomach the appalling odor of filth and contamination and decay as they wandered through the streets and then into these homes of the dead. The smell was inconceivable. And with those giant beaks filled with rags soaked in this, and then their clothes soaked in it, and then their bodies completely soaked in this chemical stuff, there wasn't a flea or a scabie that could possibly stand being on them. So their health actually, their personal physical health was through the roof. It was like they'd done everything but injected chemicals into their bodies.
They were hardy.
Yes, exactly. So back to Gwendolyn now. This is what they were doing, and that's why they were surviving being in these unbelievably filthy cesspools of death and destruction and decay. To you, Gwendolyn. Now take over.
And basically, too, all of the infected vermin and fleas and whatnot, if they came into contact, fell dead, because these oils, these living plants, the vitality of these living plants, kill them. They're anti-infectious, they're antibacterial, and they're antiviral. And you talk about vapors. Well, that's what this is. It's vapors. That it's going around. They even over in China understood, they finally came to understand that even talking, you know, because we do exude a certain amount of moisture when we are speaking. That's why you see guys at the podium drinking water. So it is vaporous. However, not as vaporous as, you know, just floating out and going. It does go out there, and there's been talk of how it lives in the air and I'm buying that one. But here's the thing. If you're wearing the mask, and especially if you're wearing a scarf that covers your nose, if you spray it with, I mean, even Lysol or watered-down pine salt, because they both kill virus and infection. But I don't suggest, as I saw someone on Facebook that said, put a Clorox wipe in your mask.
I know. Shocking.
You know,
shocking.
Shocking. Because that's harmful to you. But if you use this, and I'll tell you, there's basically four essential oils that people have considered four thieves. Everyone has their own blend. I myself have altered mine with the writings of a couple of other ancient, or at the time from the 1100s to the 1600s. I have used their recipes and medicinals to augment my own. But the point is that every 30 minutes that you're wearing your mask and you're out, or you're shopping, or you're taking the cab in New York to have to go in to do something quick at work and come back home, if you will use this to spray on the outside of your mask, if you don't have it, it will keep it from getting to you through the mask, because a lot of people have not got the right kind of mask. And tear down an old T-shirt, but wear the mask. This is a brand new Che Guevara look. You know, I mean, we all can, and money, you do have a call.
Oh, well, that's interesting. Before we take the call, I just want to remind people, because we don't want the whole show to just be about, you know, COVID. I'm turning into, you know, Governor Cuomo here all of a sudden. We want the show to be about some happiness, too. But I just want to remind people that just because you're wearing gloves doesn't mean that you can wear the gloves all day if you've been out touching things. The gloves are contaminated the minute you touch something else, like money or your credit card or the handle of a taxi. Right. Or the front door of your apartment building, or the front door of a laundromat, or whatever. So you can wear the gloves all day, provided you remember that when you get back in the house, you have to wash your hands with the gloves on. The gloves do not, this is not transmitted through a cut on your hand. COVID is a respiratory thing. So just because you have a glove over your hand doesn't mean that your glove is clean 8 hours later, okay? So wash your hands or wash your gloves. But remember that as soon as you touch things, your gloves are contaminated as well.
Right.
If your hands are bare, your hands are contaminated when you touch the door handle. There's so much superstition about a glove as opposed to a bare hand. And I want to emphasize that. Let's take our phone call.
Right, and remember to clean your phones a lot.
Yes, of course. Hello,
and
caller. Yes.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, who's this?
Sybil, Gwendolyn, hello. This is Stephen Roussos in Erlanger,
Hi,
Kentucky.
Hi, Stephen, how are you?
Of Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm fine, out on my evening walk with Sherman the Tiger Cat. Right under the beautiful magnolia, who has just finished her bloom for the year. Pink petals are littering the ground like fairies have had a big drunken party. It's crazy.
And you know what's funny, Stephen? This is so strange. Stephen, do you remember that you called us last year when your magnolia was blooming? Do you remember that?
What an amazing memory you have. As soon as I did the call, I thought, I should mention the magnolia blooms, and I think, you know, I good memory. I did not realize it was the same time. That's funny.
Yes, no, because you made
something
a big deal about magnolia, and I have magnolias around my apartment building here in New York, right over on Broadway. And what's amazing about magnolia, the good news and the bad news, magnolias are one of the first up here, are one of the first things to send their buds up, and you go, oh my God,
right,
look at that, look
right,
at that.
Right.
Some trees are barely greening right now. There's trees that don't even have green buds on them right now, but magnolias will shoot those buds right up, especially up here in the north. The bad news is that they last 18 minutes, and then it's just a mess all over the ground.
Yeah.
So
here the blooms. It bloomed like it's been in bloom for like about 2 weeks, and it's just now finishing. So in this latitude, southern Ohio, northern Kentucky, it lasts a pretty good long while, but we're in a climate where every now and then, you know, like every come out ready to bloom, and then wah, 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 there's a freeze, and they all die.
Oh, what a mess, too. What a mess on the ground.
It's
stupendous when it's up in the trees, but boy,
right.
It just looks like someone threw up.
Oh,
it looks like
in
12 for turn.
it
looks like 12 fraternities.
He's out
it
here
looks like
every
12.
Day. Yes. Like 12 what?
It looks like 12 fraternities threw up on a Saturday morning on the ground around a tree. It's just like, oh, my God. All over?
It drives my neat freak neighbor who has just always keeps an impeccable lawn. He was out last year mowing his lawn when it was 40 degrees and the grass hadn't even started growing yet. He mows it every 10 minutes. Every other day he's out here with his leaf blower, blowing the petals back into my yard like crazy. It's hilarious.
I'm amazed they blow because they're so sticky and wet where I live. And it's funny because out on Fire Island, there's very few people are out there this early in the season, you know, in March or whatever. But there is a magnolia tree in the grove that blooms, of course, and drops its petals. Mm-hmm. And there's a friend of mine out there who rakes them all up and then tosses them in his compost heap. And that is the earliest addition to his compost heap every year.
Juicy.
So it's like, oh, my God, you know.
Well, anyway, so I had one quick comment about the masks. Two, actually. One, the Surgeon General has a video up. You can Google it anywhere, of how to make a simple mask with no sewing out of a T-shirt. You fold it up and it's multi-layer and just two rubber bands.
Wait a minute, Stephen. Stephen, we're losing you. Are you walking around? Hello?
Hang on a second. I am. Let me stay
Stephen,
still.
Stephen, you got to stay in one place.
Okay. I had to come in because Sherman wanted to come in, and he's the commander when we're outside. Otherwise, he would have bit me. There it goes. All right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So the Surgeon General of the United States has a video out. It's on YouTube and all sorts of websites, how to make a face mask out of like a T-shirt or a piece of fabric. A T-shirt is good. Actually, it's multiple layers, so that's probably excellent. I loved your stuff about your oil of Thebes, Gwendolyn. That was fascinating, and I hated to interrupt all your stories about all of that. That was absolutely fascinating. I'll take that into advisement. But he just shows how to fold like a T-shirt. You fold it several times, and there's these clever folds you do at the ends. You put a rubber band on one side, rubber band on the other to go behind your ears. No sewing, and it goes right over your nose and mouth. And it fits probably fairly snug, and it seems like a very good, easy solution, because right now the masks are kind of hard to find. So that's one.
Yes.
One other thing I read, I saw an article about all sorts of different materials. One thing I might do to put inside of mine is vacuum bag material. You know how they say
Right. Microfiltration?
That's some of the best material you can get. It probably is going to be small enough, equivalent to like a surgical mask. So I need
exactly.
to line my
Now, I've heard both of those things. What I'm hoping for is that eventually Trump and the First Family will adhere to the masks and the ideas of masks and will have someone make their masks out of first T-shirt material, triple or quadruple depth, then inside that, two or three vacuum bags, and then inside that, a bunch, perhaps maybe a 12-pack of SOS steel wool scrubby pads, and then inside that, a layer of instant concrete, so that there will be no chance of any virus getting through, and in fact, no chance of any oxygen getting through, that they will finally mask themselves the way the Italian mafia used to fix people's shoes by the Hudson River, in which people who complained about their shoes getting damp in the rain would have special cement shoes made, which would allow no water through, and to prove it, they would go for a stroll in the Hudson River, just down by the piers.
Perfect.
So I'm hoping that we have a whole mask plague thing done for the First Family, and of course, by extension, Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul, all of them, steel wool and concrete mask to make sure that the virus could never, ever get through.
And plus the Trump family, it would be so nice if we didn't have to look at their faces. Just wear the masks, please. Please, just wear the mask. You know, we don't want to look at you anymore, not one more second, please. So,
Stephen, I
want to
ask, can I take us off subject? Because the show's half over. I want to take us off subject for a minute, because I gave, we all played a little bit with the Trump family and everything, but now I want to keep it a little bit happy. So for all our listeners,
back to science. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I want to take you back to because you're, even though you're down in southern Ohio and near the Kentucky border, you're still you're not confined quite the way we are in an urban area. So you're kind of in a suburban area.
That means you could
go into a backyard, for instance. Okay. This is a luxury that most people don't have. So but even so, being semi-confined to your house, tell us one thing that you're doing as an activity that is restorative and constructive and bolstering and happy that you've taken on that you didn't do prior to the plague. So are you cooking more? Are you doing a hobby that you weren't doing? What is something you're doing right now that you would recommend for people to try? I know that you're on Facebook and you're on the internet a lot. You're one of my most prolific Facebook posters. But is there something you're doing other than that that is helpful and healthful?
I wish I was a quicker thinker and I could come up with some good lie. But I live alone with a bird and a cat, and I've had sort of a – I have a couple of friends, Libby, who lives nearby, and other friends up in Ohio I see every now and then. But I kind of led the life of an – I was like, quarantine, they're describing my life. What's different? So it hasn't
I wondered about that, because I know that you're kind of a recluse without being officially diagnosed that way. But,
right.
But you kind of are reclusive with or without a plague.
One thing they can do is you can go outside. One thing you could have done or could do possibly if it's clear up there tonight, you can just step out, and it might be bright enough if you have a pair of binoculars. Like right now, it should be up. It's getting to be about 9. It's cloudy here. After the sunset, look in the east, in the west, above, you know, where the sun sets, you'll see the brilliant green Venus moon star, which will soon be gone, to be disappear for the summer. Right, she's having a conjunction with the seven sisters, the Pleiades, which
right.
are a fantastic grouping of a bunch of stars kind of veiled in this misty nebula looked at through a telescope. The other night, I looked at it, and Venus was right below. It looked like a little mini Big Dipper. And then two nights ago, it was right in the middle of them, like they were having some orgy, you know.
Yes.
Venus in the seven sisters. Oh, my, that sounds dirty. And then the other night, like last night, it was just above. Now tonight, it will still be near. But through binoculars, you can't see with the naked eye. But even in a bright city, if you look, you can always see Venus, and if you look at Venus in binoculars in the field of view, you should still see, since it magnifies the light, the beautiful little kind of mini Big Dipper of the seven sisters. And I
yeah.
think most people in cities can, if they have a pair of binoculars, can step out on their balcony or poke their head out the window and look at and you know, and get a gander at that. So I'm a big
astronomy. Well, if you're high enough up, yes, it's true, unless you're surrounded by, you know, tall buildings, which, of course,
right.
is always vexing
yes.
to people who love astronomy yes. and astrology.
But thinking of astronomy and stuff like that, you mentioned the Earth suspecting it was round. The ancient Greeks, I have the reference on my phone, but I forgot. Eratosthenes, or some one of those ridiculous Greek names, in like 230 you know, BC, estimated a fairly accurate estimate of the diameter of the Earth. He assumed it was
yes.
round because the way the sun affects sundials, and they noticed way back then, you know, ships sailing at sea. And he thought, well, what
yes.
shape would do that? A ball. So we knew that far
yes.
back, actually.
Yes,
my
yes,
ancient
that's very true. All of the Mediterranean,
so.
All of those sea-going empires,
mm-hmm.
The Egyptians noticed strange things about the fact that a pole stuck into the ground cast a certain shadow at a certain latitude on a certain day at a certain time, and that then in another part of their empire, closer to the Mediterranean,
right.
the shadow was a different length, and they couldn't figure out what that was. Why was that happening? And yes, the Greeks, who were masters of geometry with Pythagoras and all of them, noticed that there were strange things. As soon as civilizations began to move outside a 25-mile radius of their cave, as soon as people began to be seagoing and began to build empires, they began to notice freaky things from Greece to Egypt, from, you know, the Etruscans on. Everybody was noticing. You know, the Carthaginians noticed stuff that was strange. So it's, yeah.
So another interesting, fun, uplifting thing people might want to check out. This is related to the current quarantine thing, but you might want to check it out. I'm meaning to post on, but I haven't yet. Harry Smith, you know, the venerable CBS commentator, he did a video, and it's titled, Why Does Every Day Feel Like Groundhog Day Lately? And it's filled with a number of very reverential, lovely clips from Groundhog Day. And in his lovely voice, he narrates this little thing about it and how it's reflective of our situation. Well, how did Phil the Weatherman use his time? Ultimately, he used it to better himself and in service.
Yeah.
So he had some suggestions: help your neighbors, check on people, learn some things. You know, so it was
which is what I've been saying on this program. Yes,
yeah.
yep.
It was, but
Stephen,
it's
so funny you mentioned
it. It was a beautiful piece.
It's so funny you mentioned the Groundhog Day scenario, because that movie, of course, is wonderful with Bill Murray, and the deeper meaning of that. The movie is a comedy, and a wonderful comedy, but it does have it has a strange, wonderful, deep message to
it. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, I've been bombarded by private messages from Facebook friends on all the different pages, not just on my page, but also on the Civil Brunch and Lollipop Guild page, which I urge everyone to join if you need a fix of happiness. Join that page, because the membership there, 1,000 strong, over 1,000 people, people are posting happy and wonderful and diverting and educational and inspiring things. But I've been bombarded by messages of people saying that since they are confined, listen to this, since they are confined to their homes, time, their whole sense of time has become distorted. And they notice two things. First of all, they forget what day it is. They're constantly forgetting what day it is, because they're binge watching certain shows like Law and Order or the House and Garden show or whatever. And the second thing, and this is even more disturbing, time is collapsing. So suddenly, even though they're feeling like they've been confined forever, and yet they feel like time is slipping through their hands because there's nothing happening. So on one hand, time seems to be crawling, but on another hand, another thing, they feel like there is no event. Their lives are slipping through their hands because there is nothing new happening every day. Now, this is very interesting. I'm fascinated by this because it's a real phenomenon. People are claiming that it's becoming a ongoing drag that seems never to end. On the other hand, time seems to be slipping through their hands because there are no events. There's no events. So what I want to suggest to everyone, because I'm in the same boat, see, I've always felt that life was very long and very big because I've lived so many different adventures. But right now, we're not living any adventures because we're confined. So what I want to suggest, apropos of what Stephen just said, is that every day you've got to make an effort to make that day special. And yesterday, one thing I did was I gave myself my first haircut. So I stood in front of the mirror with electric clippers and gave myself a haircut. And that became a whole adventure, which then George helped me with my haircut. I also cooked something new. I also did something new with my plants in the window. My garden on Fire Island is having to catch as catch can right now because I can't go to Fire Island. So I made a point of making Sunday, and I said Sunday to myself, and I made it a day of events, of things that were specific for that day. And I've actually been doing this for a few days now to ward off the jumble sensation, the Groundhog Day sensation, the fact that every day is the same day sensation, and the fact that time is both crawling and slipping by. I want to make each day special. Now, it's easy with Gwendolyn, because we get to do our show every Monday. And by the way, we've had technical difficulties where we haven't been able to air a show with you folks. So there have been Mondays where we have had to cancel our show because I've been traveling. Or well, no traveling now, no difficulty now. I'm not stuck in an airport now during airtime. So every Monday is special because it's about getting ready to do a podcast with all of you lovely folks at home. But tomorrow is Tuesday. And I'm going to make my Tuesday special because I've written down a list of things that I'm going to do tomorrow. And I encourage all of you to do the same thing. Make each day special so that it both does not drag by and become a day you can't even remember what day it is, nor does it become a day that is a jumble day. Make it special. Make appointments with yourself. You're going to clean out the silverware drawer and wash all the silverware and the Rubbermaid things, or clean out that closet, or iron your stuff, or do something fun. If you're lucky enough, like Stephen, to have a backyard and you have some flowers, get out there and do some weeding. Do something that's special. And if you don't want to do any of those things, Skype or FaceTime some friends. Do a Zoom call. Make things special. Treat yourself to making things special. Yeah, what were you guys going to say? Gwendolyn, what were you going to say?
If I may, I'll get off and let you continue the show.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Can you hear me? Indeed, I can. Because I have to tell you, I got yanked off Blog Talk and I'm plugged back in through my cell. That's all. I just wanted to know if you could hear me.
Yes. Well, actually, so I want to throw two more things out there. I don't want to use up all your time. One, and after I'm done yakking, I'll hang up, and if you have time, you can answer it. Gwendolyn, I wanted to know in a minute after I say one more thing, why on earth were you yelling at a woodpecker? What are you doing? Anyway, and you can tell us why you were yelling at the woodpecker. And Sybil, about the double-sided nature of this period, the double-edged sword. You know, it, once a bit of writing I saw, and I felt this before, and I thought, oh my God, that's so right. It's horrible. Horrific. Everything's upset. The economy's fucked up and much suffering, many people dead. It's an awful, awful, brutal thing. However, doesn't it almost sort of feel like Gaia went, okay, monkeys, just stop it. Let's all around the world, everyone, and we all know everyone else is experiencing it. It's like a giant pause, go home, take stock, reflect, withdraw, just stop it, all you crazy monkeys down there for a while. And I know that's a horrible way to think about it, because a lot of people have suffered and died. But it's a kind of like the double-edged sword nature of this phenomenon that has been fascinating to my mind to some degree. So that's all. I want to get that out there and ask about the woodpecker. So that's all.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen, for calling in.
Okay.
Have a good night. Thank you.
There. You too, dears. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Gwendolyn?
Well, the woodpecker is because the SOB woke me up. And the other part of it is what he was talking about there. I do believe this has been roiling and getting ready to roll since industrialization. Mother has a way of bringing balance back. And something else, the death toll has been calculated so far. I don't know where they're doing it, but they posted at World Health. And the death toll in percentages is 68% men, 32% women.
Right.
That gives you pause. That gives you pause.
Yeah. Well, yes, absolutely. I doubt, although we'll see, we never should say anything definite. I doubt that this is going to turn out to be millions and millions of people killed the way the Spanish flu of 1918 did. My grandparents survived that, and they told me stories when I was little. But they told me stories of everything. They told me stories about the Archduke Ferdinand being assassinated and the Titanic. And, you know, they talked to me elaborately about what it was like to live, you know, at the turn of the century with all of those adventures going on, and how, and they were always stunned that as a young person, I was fascinated by history and their history and the history that they lived through. And I always said, oh, Grandma and Grandpa, I wish I would live through interesting times like you. And they would look at me when I was little and say, oh, you will, dear. You will live through interesting times, that you'll be amazed. And I would say, well, but you lived at a time when the world was, you know, mostly horses and not cars. And they said, you'll see amazing things too. So anyway, back to this. I don't know that we're going to see millions of people die. We have not seen states shut down from other states. My grandmother was quarantined and stuck in New York State because she couldn't return to Massachusetts for the school year, when the school year began, children who were summering in New York were not allowed to leave New York. She was stuck with relatives in New York State and could not cross the border into Massachusetts because she was a Bostonian. She could not go back through the Berkshires and all the way to Boston, where my family was, you know, that whole wing of my family was, to start school until months later. So I don't know that we're going to see that. We're going to see if we see that, but right now, not so far. I don't want to get caught up in COVID or the coronavirus, you know, and bad news, because I want to have some good news out there. But I want to get back to the fact that one thing I love about being with Gwendolyn now over a year on this show is that she and I are very much Aunt Eller types from Oklahoma. We both believe in you got to be hardy, which is that great line at the beginning of Oklahoma. You got to be tough. You got to be hardy. You've got to embrace. There's a certain amount of surrender. You got to surrender to the fact that you're 50 or 60 or 70. Age is sort of a state of mind, but it is also a reality. You've got to accept accept certain realities. Many of you responded on Facebook to the fact that I went to my dermatologist even during this crisis, and I had postponed my appointment again and again and again because of work and travel. And finally, I had gone way overdue to see my dermatologist because I have skin cancer in my history. And I went in, and sure enough, I have basal skin cancer. And it was biopsied, and I am going in for surgery this Thursday, and I am going to be fine. Why am I going to be fine? Because first of all, I am hardy. I'm hardy. You got to be hardy. I'm sorry that there are people on Facebook and they're friends of mine who are ill with different things, but there are a lot of people that live in their illness. They live about their illness, their diagnosis, their illness, their symptoms, their thing. I am chronically ill. I have certain illnesses already at my age that I live with, and I live with them daily. And by the way, I live with them nightly. I don't post about them all the time because I don't live for my illness, in my illness, or about my illness. I am not interested in my illness. I don't walk away from it. I don't ignore it. But I am not going to invest in being sick. I am not professionally sick. I'm just not going to do it. I consider my illness to be dirt. I consider my illness to be a dirty dish in the sink. And it's about being washed and sparkling and rinsed and in the dish drainer, and that's it. I'm done. And when I'm not being joyous about being well, I'm investing in my anger at my cancer. I anthropomorphize my cancer, and I scold it, I insult it, and I beat the shit out of it. My attitude towards my cancer is get out. Get out.
There you go.
I am not interested.
There you go.
And that's how I'm going to be. I consider wearing a mask with Gwendolyn's wonderful Four Thieves stuff in it joyous and fury. I am not interested in the COVID virus coming in. I'm going to spray that on my mask, and I'm going to go out for a walk in the sun and F you. I know we're not supposed to use language on this, on Blog Talk Radio. It's F you virus. Here's some spray. Walk your way through that. Get through the t-shirt or the mask made with the rubber bands sprayed with Gwendolyn's wonderful product. I want people who are my friends on Facebook to begin to invest in joy, happiness, and celebration. And if you feel yourself drifting towards sadness or depression or despair, turn that negativity into anger. Put it out, away from you. Do not let that stuff implode on you. Turn it into being angry at the political situation we're in. Turn it into anger at how this whole disease thing has been handled financially. Make it galvanize you about registering and voting in November. Make sure that all negativity is pushed outward, away from you. And if you're not negative, then be joyous. Radiate joy, but do those two things. Do not wallow in despair and sadness and, oh, poor me, and, oh, I'm da-da-da-da-da. I'm not going to do it with my surgery this week. I can't wait for that doctor to go at me with some anesthetic and a razor blade and some Mohs surgery and get that cancer off me and out of me. I want to look at what he cuts off, and I want to look at it at a petri dish, and I want to make sure that as it's sent off to the lab to be make sure the borders are correct, I want to curse it. I want to look at it and say, there, you are out. And when you're examined and my borders are clean, you're going into a furnace. You're going into the same incinerator where the gloves and all of the bandages and all of it are burned. You hear me talk about the bonfire all the time. That's where my cancer is going, into a bonfire with the gloves and the gown and the mask. All of it burned up, gone. You can go to hell. And that's what I think about all of this. And I want you to start getting joyous. Look at this stuff that is negative and say, I banish you out of my life. You are not going to clutter or soil or contaminate my life. Get out in the sun. Get out. Rainwater is clean. Sunlight is clean. I want you to think in terms of cleanliness and joy and openness. We're becoming a morose, contaminated. And no wonder people are thinking it. No wonder people are thinking it's Groundhog Day. Every day is February 2nd, over and over and over and over and over.
Okay. Well, you know, Mommy, there is nothing better for you right now as far as this viral outbreak is, and that is to spend at least 30 minutes in the sunlight every day.
Yes.
Every
Absolutely.
Day.
And get away from enough people. Get far enough away from people to pull your mask down. And let your mouth and your jaw and your cheeks get some sunlight on them so that it cleans your skin, so that you are basking in it a little bit. And then put it back up, but let some sunlight get on you. And if it's raining, you know what? Is there anything prettier than the sound of rainwater on leaves on a tree? Go out in the rain. God, everyone will scurry out of the rain. You go out in the middle of your backyard and stand in the rain.
Sleep to that last night. The rain hitting the leaves on the oak outside. I fell asleep.
And God bless you for having
your
window open so that you could hear the rainwater. It's like, it's so cleansing and healthy.
You have to have fresh air right now, especially.
The whole thing about people being afraid of the air, it being airborne. Well, wait a minute. I'm on the fourth floor of a building. I can open my windows and not have having COVID come in the front windows. I'm up on the fourth floor. Let's use some common sense. Fresh air in your apartment. And by the way, all of my plants in the window, they are not only my friends and my loved ones and as close as I can have to a pet right now, they are also changing the air. They are exchanging the air and making the air in my apartment beautiful and fresh and clean. God bless them. God bless my beautiful cycads and my fern. How wonderful and how lucky I am to have them. You've got to be world and
they're
of the world, folks. Yes.
They are
having
medicine,
a living thing.
Those plants
yes, when you take care,
medicine.
If you can't have a cat or a dog, buy a cactus, buy something that you can't kill and put it in your house and take care of something that will take care of you. By you loving something that's alive, it is loving you back. I cannot recommend enough having a houseplant, a low maintenance one that you can't kill. Try it. Don't get an African violet and don't get an orchid if you think they're going to die. Don't do that. It's bad for you. It's bad for you to kill houseplants. But get something that you can have that is easy to live, easy to take care of. And by the way, we're just about out of time, but I want to thank you all for joining me. I'd like you to join us next week, Monday at 8, Eastern Daylight Time, 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. This is Come Now, Don't Sulk. I'm Sybil Brunchen. This was Gwendolyn Holden Berry with me. We were brought to you by the wonderful daughtersofisis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Do check out their website. Gwendolyn has wonderful products available for you to order online, and they are restorative to your spirit, your psyche, and your metaphysical being as well. Gwendolyn, we'll join. I'm going to see you again next Monday night. I love you more than anything
next
in the world,
Monday.
Gwendolyn.
I love
you. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, well, my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you.
And Stephen, thank you for calling in. Gwendolyn, why don't you take us on out? We'll see you all next week.